Your Bible with you, if you'd open them up to the book of Romans, chapter 8, and we're going to pick up where we left off. Actually, we're going to backtrack one more verse again this week. Again, there's just so much here. It's hard to really cover it all. As a matter of fact, this is probably the 3-4 part message that we're going to be sharing with you concerning being a victor, a conqueror in Christ. So here we find we're going to be picking up verse 31. It says, "And what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" Brother Andy, would you ask a blessing upon the word this morning, please?
Heavenly Father, as we call upon you at this time, Lord, we just ask your presence to come down and be amongst us, Father. Touch each and every one here, open our hearts and minds, that we will receive your word, and that you will give a special anointing upon our pastor as he brings this word, Lord, that we glorify your name, and that we would shine that light.
All right. God is for us. Who can be against us? I'm telling you, folks, one of the things that I think that you'll find today is that there is a mistaken thought with a lot of people that Satan is God's equal. No way. He's a created being. Our God is a great God. None like him. He knows what's going to happen from the beginning to the end. The enemy just thinks he's hot stuff. Amen? But God's going to put him in his place very soon, folks. I heard a brother the other day who said, Satan may seem like he's got a gun pointed at you, but if you are in Christ, the barrel is pointed at his face. Think about it. You see, because our God is greater. Our God is greater. Now, some people look at this verse, if God is for us, who can be against us? And they go, wow, man, this confuses me. This, if God is for me, does it mean that if I do everything right, if I say so many Hail, you know, Marys and Our Fathers and things and do certain rituals, and, you know, does it mean that I have to wonder if God is really for me? Have I done enough to win his favor? Well, folks, that's not what it means at all. I believe that it's making a statement, a claim based upon what we know from God's word about his wonderful grace and mercy to us. Amen? And if you're a child of God, he loves you. He loves you even if you aren't a child of God. The Bible says God so loved the world. That's one of the reasons why we're given a commandment to be like him. Love your enemies. Amen? Amen? Now, you look at the word if there, that's what causes the confusion. I want you to circle in your Bibles, if you don't mind, and right next to it, since God is for us, who can be against us? Amen? That's really what it's telling us. If you look back at Romans 8, 1 and 2, it says, therefore, there is now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me from the law of sin and death. And that's really what that's telling us. If you're trying to keep the law, that's walking after the flesh. You're not going to accomplish anything. But the law of the Spirit of Christ, in other words, that he paid the penalty for our sins, and by faith trusting in him, there's no more condemnation. Amen. No more condemnation to who? To those who are in Christ. God doesn't pass sentence on you. He's pronounced you just, just as we've seen. He's purged you from all your sins, past, present, and future. What gives me the right to say that? The Word of God. Because that's what the Word of God says. Turn with me, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 8, 10 through 18. Here's talking about Christ. It says, by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, and from that time waiting until his enemies are made his footstool. Jesus doesn't have to continually offer himself a sacrifice. He did it once, one time, forever, for all sins. Okay? And from that time waiting until his enemies are made his footstool, for by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. The Holy Spirit says to us, for after he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, said the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts and in their minds. I will write them. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds, I will remember no more. Isn't that wonderful? Verse 18. Now where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. We've been made right, folks, by the blood of the Lamb. Amen? By the blood of the Lamb. And because of that, the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit cries out in our heart, Abba, Father. And he's working in our hearts and our lives through our trials, through our pains, through our sorrows, but also through our successes and through the good times. But everything works together for good. His plan, as we have seen before, is to work according to his foreknowledge by calling and by justifying us and by glorifying us. Now let me ask you something. Understanding and hearing that, knowing that, do you think the Father wants you to know that in his sight you are spotless and that in his sight you can have assurance, amen, of who you are and where you're headed? Look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 10 through 15. It says, he who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself, but he who does not believe the Son of God has made him a liar because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his word. What's his testimony? This is his testimony, amen? God's given it to us, amen? And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in the Son, in his Son. He who has the Son has life. Maybe? Is that what it says? No. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. Listen, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know that if he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Somebody ought to want to shout because of that. I'm telling you, folks. If God is for us, who can be against us? You see? It doesn't mean that we don't have anyone against us, really, if you think about it. But it means that we do have things against us, but they won't prosper. Anybody here think they don't have anything coming against them? Look at Isaiah chapter 54, verse 16 through 17. This is a fascinating verse of Scripture. It says, behold, I have created the blacksmith who blows the coals in the fire, who brings forth an instrument for his work. I have created the spoiler to destroy. That is prophetic of the devil. Do you realize that? Did you realize that God created the devil? The Bible says, behold, I create evil. Behold, I create good. Here he is. In allegorically speaking, he's referring to him as the blacksmith who blows the coals in the fire, who brings forth an instrument for his work. I have created the spoiler to destroy. He's there for a purpose. You see? But notice what it says to the believer here. It says, no weapon formed against you shall what? Prosper. And every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And look at this. I love this. This just makes me want to shout. I'll tell you, it says, and their righteousness is from me. Amen. Says the Lord. Their righteousness is from me. It's not from ourselves. It's not from what we've done. It's because of what Jesus has done. Now, folks, we have an enemy. We have a spiritual enemy that comes against us with all force, clawing, biting, doing whatever he can. Amen? But we're told in Ephesians 6, 10 through 11, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Be strong in the Lord. And folks, what we're going to be talking about this morning is being strong in the Lord. How do you become strong in the Lord? Now, you've heard it said before that God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. And that's always very encouraging when you hear that. But folks, you've got to understand this too. You do have an enemy. You do have somebody who opposes you. And Satan, he hates you. And he has a horrible plan for your life. He wants to distract. He wants to disrupt you. It's so much so that if he can, he wants to utterly destroy your faith. But he also wants you as a Christian to be weak and feeble and ineffective in your witness and your testimony to others. He doesn't want you relying on Jesus. He doesn't want you fellowshipping in church. He doesn't want you reading the Word of God.
Amen.
And folks, he will use anything to accomplish this, including your family, your marriage, your jobs, even some of the things that mean the most to you. He will use them against you at times. And if you don't think that's true, you all remember it's like whenever you first had a little baby, you'd sit down to read the Bible, first thing, the little baby starts crying. You know? The enemy will push buttons, amen? He'll make things happen. He'll use health to discourage and to depress you. Do whatever he can to make your life miserable. And you feel like, oh, God, what's going on? I don't understand why I'm going through this. But as we've shared with you before, the Bible says, beloved, don't think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. And so some strange thing is happening to you because the same things are being accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. It's happening for a reason. It's happening for a purpose. It's getting us in shape, spiritually speaking, you might say. You know, I think the answer is learning and understanding that you are in a battle, that you are in a fight. Philippians 2, verse 12 through 13 says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. It's important for us to understand that we need to work out. We need to get in shape. We need to be spiritually strong to be able to overcome the wiles of the devil. Amen? And there, I'm telling you, God's given us what we need to be able to do that. The other night we were listening to a brother preach a message. Help me, Nan. What was his name again? Evans.
Oh, Tony Evans.
Tony Evans, yeah. And he was using illustrations about Rocky Balboa. And I just happened to be thinking about, I thought about the illustration and the time in the first movie when Rocky was getting in shape and he had him chasing a chicken. You remember that? And do you ever feel like you're chasing a chicken in your life? You mean everything just, man, this thing's hard to catch. Nothing's even going right. But pretty soon, he's getting stronger. And he's getting stronger, and he's able to catch that chicken, you know? And folks, I believe that God is, he has a goal for us. And I believe when we reach that goal, I believe that God's not going to withhold any good thing. Amen? I believe that we need to recognize that we are in a battle and to prepare for it, becoming strong in the Lord, growing stronger so that the enemy's accusations no longer carry the sting that it once did, because we know who we are in Jesus Christ. I know who wins. I know that I am a victor because of what Jesus has done. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. It says, he said, and I also pray that you are, and I also say to you, Peter, that you I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, we have always looked at this verse of Scripture, and I believe we're interpreting it wrongly when we think that it's that the gates of hell are coming against us. It's the other way around. Us coming against the gates of hell, they're not going to prevail. Amen? We get to that place where we are spiritually strong. We have that strength. Remember what Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 6 through 12. He said, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. You see, the spiritual war that we're fighting, it's a good fight. And why is it a good fight? Because God has made us more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. And even though the enemy attacks, even though he overwhelms us at times, we win and we know we're going to win. All sorts of things can come against us. The enemy will hassle you a lot of times as long as you allow him to hassle you. First John chapter 4 says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. It's a recognition that we are greater than the enemy. It's a recognition that we are complete in him, the Bible says. You know what it really boils down to is this. Understanding that Jesus loves us, and because he loves us, he's not going to withhold any good thing from us. Amen? Did you know what is the kryptonite to Satan? It's when we begin to understand how much we are truly loved by God, and we in turn love one another. Do you remember what Paul said to that one church? He said, he goes, my joy is full because of your love toward one another. That makes the enemy run and flee. Man, I'm telling you, he doesn't like when God's people love. He doesn't like it when they comprehend the love of God. But again, one of our worst enemies is not only the enemy, Satan, but it's ourselves. Because we literally can oppose ourselves in that we yield to the flesh all too often. And I think about, this is from the King James Version, 2 Timothy 2, verse 24 through 25. It says, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but must be gentle to all men, apt to teach, in meekness receiving those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging the truth." Let's be honest with one another. We oppose ourselves at times. And it takes sometimes brokenness, going through the ringer, chasing the chicken, you might say, to get us to the place where we have a heart of repentance. Romans chapter 7 talks about the flesh and how that we all have to deal with it. It's a constant tug of war, isn't it? Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 26 and verse 41, "Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And Galatians 5 and 17 says, "For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you cannot do the things you wish." I'm telling you, folks, the battle gets so tiring sometimes. I get tired. Don't you? Don't you? I mean, this speaks to me, I tell you. But then God speaks to me, and he gives me a verse of scripture like this, Galatians 6 and 9. "Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart." Right. Amen? So you see, we have to be disciplined. Brother Denny's here. He used to be in the Navy SEALs. He can tell you this. They got a pretty rigorous training program, don't they, brother? A lot of people flunk out of it. They flush them out really fast, the guys that just can't handle it. But that training is what helps save their lives. And I'm convinced that, folks, we have to recognize that we are in a battle and that we must go through a spiritual training to gain the strength and the favor of God. Amen? 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 through 27, Paul said this, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And anyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." I'm telling you, that is a wonderful admonition for us. We have to understand that we are called to a work of sanctification. Yes, we are sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ, but God has called us to sanctification also. But we have an advantage. God has given us of His Holy Spirit to help be able to overcome the enemy. And He's actually given us the Word of God. The Word of God is like the ammunition that the enemy uses against, that the Holy Spirit uses against the enemy. In Psalms 119:11 it says, "Your word have I hid in my heart that I might sin against you." It's so important for us to remember how important it is to get into us, folks, because the Spirit has something to draw with, you know. So he can help you to be able to overcome any temptations and trials that comes your way. Remember John chapter 14, verse 26 says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you." And that very thing right there is what gives you the advantage over the enemy. Amen? Thank God for His Holy Spirit and the convicting power of His Holy Spirit who reminds us of His Word. Yes, there are things that come against us. And we do have an adversary, but we have victory. And the Bible tells us that because God didn't spare His own Son in Romans 8:32, but delivered Him up for us, how shall He not with us give us all things? That word "spared" is used in only one other place in the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament. When Abraham took his son Isaac to Mount Moriah, which today is called Golgotha or Calvary, and God said to Abraham in Genesis 22 and 12, He said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son from me." See, Abraham went through a real trial here too. He went through some difficult times, but it strengthened his faith. Amen? The word withheld here is the same word translated spared in the Romans. Now, the reason that God could pour out so many blessings upon Abraham was that he was ready to sacrifice his own son, the one thing that meant the most to him. Let's be honest. The thing that means the most to each and every one of us, most likely, is ourselves, right? Let's be honest. Are you willing to lay yourself upon the altar? Amen? The Bible says that we need to present ourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. But because of that, listen, Genesis 22 and 15 through 18 says, "Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, 'By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, and I'm convinced that this is what was going to happen. We give everything to God. Blessings I will bless you, multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and the sand which are on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemy. And your seed, all the nations of the earth, shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice.'" See, Abraham was ready to sacrifice his son to show his love for God. And God sacrificed his own son to show his love for us. Let's recognize that. And let's be willing to lay ourselves down upon the altar, willing to sacrifice ourselves for him and love others. Amen? "How shall he not freely give us with him all things?" He's already given us the best. He's given us his son, Jesus Christ. Now, in this DVD that we saw, Tony Evans was talking about one of the Rocky movies. I think it was Rocky V, where Rocky's no longer in the fight game anymore. And he decides to train this one boxer. And, of course, the boxer's eager to learn. And somewhere along the line, the boxer turns on him after he's won a few fights. And anyway, they end up in a bar brawl because apparently this fighter had hit his brother-in-law, you know, and Rocky took off his jacket and said, "Well, let's go at it right now, bare-knuckled." And this young man was stronger, faster, and he beat Rocky down pretty good. And he's down there. He's got himself in a place where he doesn't know what he's going to do. And he's flashbacks of all the fights that he'd won before, you know, how he came back and everything. None of them was working where he could get up and overcome his opponent. Then he saw Mick. Mick saying to him, "Get up, you bum! Get up, you bum! Mick loves you." Think about that. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. And that's what gave him the strength to get up. And I'm telling you, folks, that was what will give you the strength to be able to overcome the enemy and the trials and tribulations of your life. Recognize and understand that that's the one thing that makes the enemy flee. When you understand and comprehend who you are in Christ Jesus, that he loves you, and it also helps you to be able to love other people.
Right.
Amen? Now look at one last scripture I'm going to share with you, and then we're going to close, okay? This is such an important verse of scripture that I think we just read it and we don't really chew on it, you know, to get all its nutrients that it has for us. But in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, listen to what it says. "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." Listen, "that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might." That's what we need. We need the strength of his might and the power of his might. And this is how it comes. This is how it happens. "Through the Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love," listen, "may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge." That means we can't even comprehend it. "That you may be filled with all the fullness of God." That's God's plan for you and I. Amen? He wants you to be a victor. He wants you to understand that the enemy, he is a defeated foe. Amen? And greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. Yes, you're going to have hard times, But you still remember, I belong to Jesus. And because He loves me, I know I can stand the test of any storm. Amen? That's the answer. That's the answer, folks. Amen. Let's bow our heads.